This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Center for Conscious Kids. We are here today on Conscious Living podcast series with Tara Wassel. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you today.
Now, Tara is a new chiropractor in our office, and I'm new to the office as well. It's called Ocean Wellness, and Bridget Shelf, our main chiropractor and owner of the business, has several different... Don't mind the beeping in the background. That's just a delivery truck. But what has happening is we're starting, both of you and I, basically at the same time.
Yeah, it's really interesting timing.
It really
Lots
is.
Of changes at the office.
It's awesome. And we're in Solana Beach, California, and we just love it. We really focus on a lot of families and kids and babies and all kinds of people and doing chiropractic work, doing pediatric acupuncture, doing energy healing and pediatric energy healing, and doing breast consulting and breastfeeding consulting, sorry.
No. When our midwives are there working with the pregnant moms.
Yes.
Of course.
And that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And then we have you, and you have come along into the office that brings some special skill sets. Can you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. First of all, I'm just a chiropractor, but I got really interested in working with children and infants as a mother, so I did a lot of training through the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association.
Woohoo!
That's a big mouthful.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so that's how I got my training for working with kids and moms.
Wow.
And then over time, that kind of evolved, and I did more training and more training, and I've become really passionate about working with children with neurodevelopmental disorders.
I love it. I mean, not the developmental disorder part, but I love that you're helping these kids.
Well, I just find that there's just not enough resources for them, and they're struggling, and they want help. And so I decided to really make more room for that in my life, in my practice, and focus on that. And of course, I still want to see the moms and the healthy babies and the kids that don't have those problems, but I want to be a resource to those families.
Yes.
So I'm really trying to actively make space for that in our practice, you know, and with me moving here from the East Coast, this will be the first office I'm working in since I've come to California.
Wow. Well, we're so glad to all be together at Ocean Wellness. It's just a beautiful environment and we love it. It's just exciting. So tell me a little bit about what creates neurodevelopment or neurodisabilities with kids. What does that mean?
There can be a lot of different causes, but right now it's just rampant. It's 1 in 6 kids in our country right now. So it's a lot of people, and it can look a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So the neurodevelopmental disorders include things from ADD and ADHD to things like dyslexia, autism spectrum disorder, sensory processing disorders, and just all kinds of different, they come out in different ways in different kids.
Right.
But basically what happens is at some point during their development, some of the neuropathways don't really form the right connections, or the connections are interrupted by things that are in their way, and so they're weaker than they should be. And so the children have to compensate with that, and the way they experience the world is very different than how a neurotypical child might.
Okay. That's very much true. And then the older they get, the more layered that coping becomes?
Yeah, because they continue compensating as they develop, and so there's just new connections forming all the time because our bodies are smart and wonderful. And if there's something in the way, we're going to find a way around it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's an easy way for them. It's kind of chaotic for them.
Yeah.
The information coming in from their world can be really stressful.
Yes.
Because it's not coming in a smooth and organized fashion.
Yes.
So they have to put a lot of energy into deciphering that information and figuring out how to react.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you see a lot of problems, because these kids might be struggling with different things in school.
Yeah.
And they get referred out to different doctors or psychiatrists or whomever. And because they have a lot of trouble focusing, or they might be disruptive, or they might be showing signs of aggression, a lot of times they're medicated for different symptoms that they're having.
Right.
And everyone's intentions are obviously to help these kids. So no one's trying to do anything bad by doing that. But my worry is that we're not getting to the root problem that's causing the symptoms in the brain.
Right.
So the program that I'm launching at Ocean Wellness is our neurosensory development program.
I love it.
And that is really going all the way down into the networking of the brain and trying to form proper connections and strengthen areas of weaknesses for these kids.
Yeah. And what kind of areas of weaknesses would they suffer from?
Well, there can be...
Did I open up a can of worms?
Yeah, it's kind of a broad question that I could answer a lot of ways, so I want to...
Okay, well, you pick which way you
think. So basically, if they're having struggles with their behavior or, you know, at school, we want to get down to why.
Okay.
Okay? And
yeah,
if it's that the chaotic nature of the information that's coming in, we need to reprogram that for them.
Yes.
Because we can't really change what's coming in.
Right.
It is what it is. It's whatever they're exposed to in their daily life.
Right. But like that blinking fluorescent light.
Yeah.
And the ticking of the clock and the bell ringing.
Exactly.
And the train going by and the beeping of the truck moving out of the delivery area. But I'm just kidding.
What we can do is really kind of help them organize that information by strengthening the pathways so that they're not perceiving it as stressful and it's not using up all of their energy to cope with it.
Gosh, yes.
And
coping,
I know,
dramatically drops our energy.
Yeah.
And then when we cope and cope and cope and cope and cope, we hit a tipping point. We kind of take a dive.
Well, we talked a little the other day is
the
two kind of things that happen very often is the kids either get to a point where they shut down and then they're not teachable for the rest of that time because their body is overloaded and they kind of just, okay, I'm done.
Their fuse box flipped a switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other side of that is they get so overwhelmed that they can't be still anymore and they come really kind of overactive and distracting for the other kids.
Right.
And they're also still not learning because they're just dealing with all the feelings they have inside of them.
Right.
So we want to balance them. And you work with balancing people, so you can relate to that.
I sure can.
I know we talked also a little bit before about the different parts of what I look at.
Yes.
Do you think that's a good place to go next?
I really think so. What are some of those things, especially when we get started in life, like in utero and coming out as newborns? What is that? What are some of those situations that affect a neurosensory person?
So anything that's going on with the mom during pregnancy or anything during labor that is stressful can cause effects. Any exposures the mom has that cause her stress or pollutants, anything. So it can be all these different things that cause disruptions. But then once the baby's born, the really cool thing is that we're born with a set of reflexes that are survival instinct reflexes.
Yes.
They're called primitive reflexes. And as we are out in the world and we start moving and becoming aware of our body and really developing those connections, those primitive reflexes, they should go away. And when they go away, we say that they're integrated or they're inhibited. That's what normally should happen. And as those go away, we're able to have more development of the higher, more sophisticated parts of the brain. And that's when our postural reflexes come in and all of our sensory systems start to integrate and work together. But when the primitive reflexes stay there, those other connections have to work around them. They might form weak, they might form disorganized, or they can even not form really.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I see a kid with a lot of primitive reflexes still hanging around, they don't have good postural reflexes. And there's just, that's a whole can of worms to open up there,
okay.
But that can cause a whole nother group of problems.
Yes, for as we grow older.
And so as we're talking about this, I'm thinking that people might be wondering what chiropractic has to do with that.
Yeah.
So
I would love to take one step back, and could you describe what some of those primitive reflexes are? I know I spent many years in the newborn intensive care unit and know a lot about those. But a lot of people may not know, even if they've had babies or kids, they may not know what those really mean.
Okay.
Or what they look like.
So some of the ones that most people are aware of is the rooting reflex.
Right.
So babies should have a reflex that when you stroke their cheek, they'll turn towards the stimulus.
Right.
And that's to help the baby with breastfeeding so they can find their food supply.
Yes.
Super important for survival when you're an infant.
Yes, it is.
But when you get older, you don't need that anymore. So that reflex should go away. Usually it goes away in about 2 to 3 months.
And so what are some of the symptoms that you might see in a child who still has present rooting reflexes that someone who's non-clinical would be able to notice?
So those kids, they also usually keep what's called the palmar reflex. If you see rooting, a lot of times they have palmar.
Okay.
And then those two reflexes, one of the things you see with those kids is their hand movements and mouth movements are intertwined.
Okay.
So that might not sound like a big deal.
So like when they talk, they got to move their hands?
Yeah, or when they're doing things with their hands, they need to talk. So that might not sound like a big deal, like I said, but if you look at it in a school setting,
right,
these kids might be struggling with manual dexterity for writing.
Okay.
Or maybe when they're writing, it's really stressful unless they talk.
Okay.
And so these kids want to talk and talk and talk and talk, and they use their mouth so that their hand can do what it needs to do so that they're not overwhelmed so much.
I see.
And so that's just one of the ways that it's intertwined.
Wow.
So you can do really simple little exercises to help get rid of these guys, you know, break those connections and allow them to go away. So that helps to quiet some of the noise those kids are having in their head.
Yeah. And then what were some of the other reflexes that you can see later in later childhood and or adulthood that you still see present in somebody's temperament or behavior patterns? What would they show?
Well, there's a lot of different reflexes.
I bet there is.
They
and
all
combinations
have different,
of them. Huh?
Yeah, different, you know, aspects of them that,
yeah,
that show up differently.
Yeah.
But like if they have spinal gallant reflex, they
okay
might be a toe walker.
Okay.
They
so
might,
toe walking is not typical.
No, there's a lot of different causes. It can be like a whole bunch of different things. I check all of them, but that's one thing I look at. Like,
yeah,
do they have this reflex hanging out?
Okay.
It can also be the tendon guard reflex. That's a different one.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things I've found is, you know, when a kid gets to start being a certain age, they want to go to do sleepovers and start interacting with their peers.
Right.
And one of the problems with spinal gallant is some of these kids are past the age where they should be having accidents and they're still having bedwetting.
Okay.
And so that's a problem for them because it's limiting them socially and they might already have some quirks or things about them and then they have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, dealing with that and integrating it so that they don't have that challenge and they can kind of go out and make friends.
Yeah.
Not that they can't make friends, but, you know,
yeah,
they can interact in a way that's not restricting them with that problem.
Yeah, or have to elicit coping mechanisms to deal with some of these issues they're facing.
And one of the earlier reflexes that's before that one even should integrate is the Moro reflex. And most people know about that. It's the startle reflex.
Yes.
So if you have a loud noise or anything around a baby, their arms go out.
Yes.
And then they come in and they start crying.
Right.
And that should also integrate pretty young.
Yeah.
But when it hangs around, you see a lot of people with anxiety.
Okay.
They're stressed out easily. They startle easily. They're guarded. And so those kinds of traits,
yeah,
can translate into a lot of different ways of behavioral issues or tendencies, or maybe they can't come out of their shell.
Right.
Because they're too worried about guarding themselves.
Yeah.
So really, you know, working on them with that reflex can,
yeah,
really open up their world.
Yeah.
And like I said, break the pathways we don't want and allow for the other ones to form.
To form. Wow, that's fantastic. And so how do you do that when someone comes in, a neurosensory child or one with one of those diagnoses, or you just know something's off and that this is the place to come and get some support? What kind of support do you offer? What does that look like?
Well, of course, I do chiropractic adjustments,
yeah,
and I love that because another thing I want to balance is their parasympathetic and sympathetic balance, which,
yeah,
is your autonomic nervous system.
Yeah.
When they're overstimulated, they can kind of get in fight or flight.
Yes.
and certain parts of your autonomic system are housed in certain parts of your spine.
Yes.
So if I really want to calm a kid, I'll do adjustments for the parasympathetic areas to stimulate those.
Yes.
And we're balancing that at the same time as we're working on these reflexes.
Right.
And I pretty much check all of the kids. So even if they're a very typical normal kid and they have neck pain, I'll still do this and check them out because it could just be subclinical, but right. It can still be making it harder for them to learn and to thrive in their life.
Yeah.
But once I find that they have a reflex that they need to integrate, I'll do some maneuvers on them, some things like in the room, on the table.
Okay.
And then I also give them some exercises. I call it their homework.
Yeah.
And that's what they're supposed to do between visits. And they just spend a little bit of time every day.
Uh-huh.
And doing that can really shorten how much time they need with me.
Yeah.
And it's also empowering for them because they know that they're making these changes that are helping them.
Yeah.
It's not me fixing them. It's me showing them a tool that they can use to improve themselves.
Yes.
And the really cool thing, most of the kids won't do it if the parents are not involved.
Okay.
And when the parents start doing the exercises, they're like, hey, you know, like my brain's working a little bit better.
Yeah, well, a lot of us might have some primitive reflexes.
Yeah, we found that out the other day, right?
Yeah, we did. I had a little Moro with me, too. I can't imagine why. But it was great. It was very empowering. It was very empowering to elicit the exercises even for today and to work on that before coming to podcast today.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. And knowing that different little things, it's amazing because I think word retrieval is better. When we have access or better integration between our spine, our body, and our head,
mm-hmm.
and that we can process things just a little bit smoother. And
exactly.
We have greater reserves for doing other things or becoming more productive in maybe other ways that we wanted to.
Or even if you're not adding anything,
yeah.
if you're doing everything and you're perceiving it as less stressful,
yeah.
that has so many impacts on your health overall.
Yeah, and maybe bring in a little joy.
Yeah.
Just isn't that awesome?
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's so beautiful. And tell me a little bit about some of the kids that are really struggling, kids with autism and Down syndrome or other processing situations. I mean, maybe even older people with Alzheimer's or other neurodevelopmental or disabilities. How does that impact their lives? Because I would imagine it's got to be huge.
Well, there's so many things I look at. So we're kind of focusing on the neurodevelopmental aspect in the program that I'm launching.
Yeah.
But in my treatment, I look at their physical stuff, their emotional stuff, and their diet and lifestyle, kind of supplements to support them. So we're looking at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I like to help people build a new foundation for their health.
Yes.
So that would look like, you know, working on balance in their nervous system, making sure that they're eliminating, making sure that they're dealing with stress, that they're sleeping, that their blood sugar's okay. There's so many things. So it's all part of the treatment. And if there's a kid that's very challenged with me not wanting me to touch them a lot, we'll work on those areas a lot and clean up some of that in the beginning as I build trust with them. Because if I start trying to do all these different things that involve me touching them and it's overwhelming to them, it's adding to their stress.
Right.
So it's a balance.
Right.
So we'll do some of the other stuff, add in some things they can do. I still do a couple exercises with them, but they would be less.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing is I look at all of their sensory systems and where they have deficits or imbalances. And sometimes it's whole system versus another system, or sometimes it's right-sided versus left-sided.
Right.
And so I have a lot of different exercises that they can do that the kids think are so much fun.
Right.
And they don't even need to be touched to do those.
Right.
So some of the kids that are, you know, not comfortable with a lot of touch can benefit from doing those style of exercises.
Right, the sensory protective kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I love having all the different tools that work with different kids.
Yeah.
Some of the kids, they want touch.
Right.
That's like calming for them.
And so
I'll do more hands-on with them and then give them their exercises to do at home for the other stuff.
Right.
Versus the other kids do more of the hands-off stuff together. And just a little bit of the hands-on to their comfort level until we can get that trust, until things start to calm down for them.
Right.
And then you talked, you mentioned the other people. So we have a whole lot in the world right now of neurodegenerative disorders.
Yes.
So multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all of those kinds of things.
Yes.
And the thing that's kind of cool is that when you're having anything like that, or even a concussion or any kind of inflammation in your brain from an injury, you'll see some of these primitive reflexes come out.
Wow.
That maybe weren't even there before.
Yeah.
It's another reason I like to test for them in the beginning, because I'll see someone and they didn't have them.
Yeah.
And then they got in a car accident and all of a sudden they have a moro. So we work on that to make sure that they don't start reprogramming with that in their connections.
Right.
Right.
During their healing process.
During their healing.
Wow.
And I know you were talking.
That's a phenomena. Does many people know about that?
I don't think so.
That's really amazing that we can re-elicit primitive reflexes from a trauma.
Yeah. It can be a physical trauma or an emotional trauma or a chemical overload from stuff we're putting in.
Right. Mental trauma or even, exactly. Or even illness trauma. I mean, all different kinds that affect the tissues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another population that I'm trying to focus on the kids. It's not that I don't want to help the other people. I'd be happy to help them too.
Yeah.
I just have a super big soft spot for these kids.
Yeah.
But another population of people are the post-stroke patients.
Yeah.
Because they have some damage to a lot of their connections from their stroke.
Yeah.
And they have to reform them.
Yes, they do.
And so giving them exercises that are specific to their area of damage.
Yes.
Whether it be sidedness or which part of the brain.
Yeah.
It really makes a big difference in how quickly they can recover and how much they can recover.
Yeah.
And you want them to, recover as fully as possible so that they're not living in a compromised state after the stroke. They can continue to have a full life.
Right. Right. Oh, I love it. That's amazing. So what you're really talking about, especially with the kids and working with them, is you work to find these primitive reflexes and you help to integrate, depending on their level of sensitivity, but you start to integrate them. And what that does is allow them to let go or to integrate or process through those early newborn reflexes and move into deeper and deeper neurologic development with their brain and nervous system.
Yeah, you said that really well.
I did. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so then when that platform gets created, you're creating and allowing them that really then to step into their innate, natural, balanced structure. And so quite possibly after they get through a lot of, depending on their level of disability, but as they get through it and move through it, then they actually maintain this new balanced structure for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And like it's a tool belt.
And they have all these exercises. So if they notice that they're losing a little bit, they know a lot of things they can do.
Right.
And it's just always, our bodies are so plastic, so they keep changing.
Right. And keep relearning and re-imprinting that new pattern of that balanced state versus that compromised and coping state.
And this can work for anyone from a neurotypical person that maybe has some quirks or they respond to the world very emotionally. You know, there's people that are considered very normal, but like every time they get stressed out, they break down and cry.
Right.
And then other people are like, why are they so emotional?
Right.
They might just have some of these things to work on.
Right.
It's just how they're perceiving their environment.
Yeah, very empathic.
It can be anything from that to a very severely affected child.
Right.
It works with kids who are nonverbal. Some of them, don't have normal gait patterns. So there's so much room. And depending on where you're starting and where your goal is to get, will determine how much time and, work you need to do to get to your goal.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think that's with everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And so from some of the kids that you've treated and seen, what have you noticed? Like, when can parents start to understand or notice when the kids, of course, it depends on the degree of issue and the depth of the problem. But do you start seeing it right away? I mean, how can parents kind of visualize this as an opportunity for healing for them?
So people sometimes notice changes right away.
Okay.
Also, chiropractic adjustments kind of cause an instantaneous change. And so a child can be really perceptive to that and receptive to that. And if they're holding their adjustment, meaning it lasts from day to day, then that will continue to affect how they're feeling and how they're interacting with the world. The exercises takes a little bit of time because we're talking about forming new connections. And it's just like any learning. The first time a kid picks up a pencil and tries to write, it doesn't go so well.
Right.
And it takes quite a while for them to get really fluid with it.
Yes.
And so with some of these things, they take time.
Yeah.
So the same way. And it's also limited to, I cannot just do 20 things at one time. So we'll do a couple of reflexes, a couple of things to stimulate maybe their vestibular system or their proprioceptive system, or wherever they need it. We do a few things at a time, and it's always evolving and changing.
And growing that foundation.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's also dealing with setbacks, because sometimes a kid's doing much, much better, and then there's a change in their life, or they a different supplement or something, it doesn't work well for them or causes stress for them. And then we're going backwards a little bit. But I like to be there to support them and say, okay, what was it and how do we get past it and get back on board where we were headed?
Right. Right. That's for all of us, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know.
But it's special for the kids. I mean, it's amazing because a lot of times we didn't know that this type of therapy and this type of understanding about how the body works, even from a newborn or in utero all the way up through, about how we can facilitate things that have either happened due to traumas or illness or whatever, or stimulation in the environment, food, all those other chemicals, air pollution, all those things. But we didn't know we could reverse that in the body, I think.
Yeah, it's just so cool. Our brains can change. Your nerve tissue is one of the things that doesn't regenerate really well and really quickly the way that our other cells do.
Yeah.
But it can still form new connections.
And it can remodel.
Exactly.
I mean, it really can. It's
it doesn't work
amazing.
The same way as like a bone that breaks down and builds up constantly.
Right.
It's different for nerve tissue, but we're not talking about making new tissue. We're just talking about forming connections between the cells that are already there.
Right.
And it's totally doable.
I know. It's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing it. Anything that comes across your mind now being here and talking to our audience and them experiencing what's possible for pediatric chiropractic care and neurosensory development? Anything strikes your mind that you'd like to share with them? Because I know you've got a library of information.
Yeah, it's just where does it all fit? In an ideal world, I would love to work with people from like preconception, supporting a healthy pregnancy, and then seeing their child as once they're born and as they develop on and off, just as they're hitting their milestones, to make sure that they are hitting those milestones and those reflexes are integrating at an appropriate time. And back to milestones,
oh
that
my
they're
gosh,
staying,
that's beautiful.
That they're staying in that milestone long enough to form strong connections for that. Some kids crawl for a really long time, and that's awesome. And some crawl for 2 days, and then they want to walk.
I know. My child didn't crawl at all.
And yeah.
I tried to get her to chase a little robotic car, but she wouldn't have anything to do with it. And it was really cute. And I go, I know she needs that. She needs that brain integration and that crossover.
That makes it right and left brain communicate better.
Yeah.
And so ideally working with people in that way and helping them as they meet challenges before the child has to compensate and then overcome challenges.
Right.
I mean, that's ideal. But right now, I think there's just so many kids that are already struggling that it's going to take a while to get to that paradigm. I mean, I'm hopefully going to be there with some people.
Yeah.
But I really want to help the kids that are already struggling.
Yes. So maybe the really good take-home point, too, here is that if you are a mom or a dad and you have a young infant and a young child and you're noticing what you called quirks, which were great, is a great wording, quirks that seemed a little different than brother or sister or how they were growing up or other kids that are similar age or in the preschool, or the preschool teacher says, you know, your Johnny's just a little different than everybody else. So they can come and see someone like you to really get an idea of what might be happening from a neurosensory standpoint.
Yep. And what I would like to say to them, to the parents,
yes,
is to trust their instincts, because there's so many times that someone will come in and say, I was worried about this, but, you know, my pediatrician said it's fine. It's not a big deal.
They'll grow out of it.
Yeah, and it's not that they're trying to give the wrong information.
Exactly.
But sometimes they haven't even come across that information. It's not like part of the curriculum that they're learning, or they know that certain reflexes are there, okay, and they go away. But they maybe haven't studied what happens if they don't go away, or what that looks like. And so I want the parents to trust their instincts and always look for answers. If you feel like someone's giving you an answer and your gut feeling is, I mean, that just doesn't seem right to me.
There's something more going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always trust that and just find someone. If it's me, that's great. If it's you, that's great. If it's whoever it is, just you need to keep looking until you find an answer that resonates with you. Because as a parent, you have instincts. And
absolutely,
a lot of times you just get advice that, you know, no, you're wrong. Yeah. But really, you're not wrong.
No. No, because you have an inkling, too, inside of you that you know something can be done about it. You're just not sure what it is or how to direct that care or what kind of care. So when they go and see you, I mean, I think a lot of people envision what a chiropractic appointment is. But I think in our office, it's a little bit different. We have a lot of toys. We have a lot of running around. It's really cool. And so kids can be adjusted in many, many different ways. We talked about that with pediatric acupuncture, too.
Yeah.
But that there's many different ways to handle it. So if your child likes to bounce off the walls and jump off the furniture, they can still be treated.
Absolutely.
Or if they're really low tone and they want to stay home and play on the TV all the time.
The low tone kids, they love to get in a beanbag and do stuff there because they get that extra input and it's kind of cozy and safe for them.
Right.
And so that's a really easy tool to use with them, is just let them sit there and hang and pick a toy to do stuff with and work on them while they're comfortable in their zone.
Right. So we could just give the parents an idea of what it's like in an office that takes care of a lot of kids, is that we modify the environment, really, for, I mean, even when they come in and get energy healing work with me, you know, sometimes the kids aren't even on the table or on the massage table or in the parent's lap. They're running around playing on the floor. They're playing with toys. It's okay. They still get the therapy and the support that they need.
Yeah, we're not judging anyone. We're just here to help. And
absolutely,
you know, there's all kinds of different kids in our office. Anything from a 2-day-old baby that's on its way home from the hospital for the first time coming in to get checked or, you know, a teenager.
Yeah.
And everyone's different and everyone's okay with that at our office.
Absolutely. And it really is just beautiful to reinforce that, you know, as a parent or as a care provider, if you feel something's off, even a teacher, if you feel something's off with the child, mention it. Mention it to the parents. Mention it to the parents that maybe there's a place, there's an opportunity, there's a practitioner that can support them and help them. It is not to get the quirk out. It is to reduce the stress that the person's experiencing so they don't have to have so much coping.
Right, because we accept all the kids the way they are.
Right.
But if they're struggling with dealing with some of the challenges they're facing and it's making it hard on them, nobody wants it to be hard on their kid. Everyone wants their kid to like have an easy, fun experience in their life.
And especially with their bodies, and to feel comfortable with their bodies. And many times, I mean, I'm one, I grew up not liking my body. I'm learning how to like it now. And what's amazing is that you don't have to spend 53 years coping with that, right, at all. That you can actually have it, our early intervention, and have it so that you enjoy your life, you enjoy your body, and you share that experience with others, and you go and do the things you want to do and get out and really, really impactfully enjoy life. And when we do that, our emotional systems, you know, come into balance. Our mental mind and our processing comes into balance. Even our aspects, which we talk about sometimes energetically, our spiritual aspects come into balance. There are many balances. And when we feel balanced, we're more resourceful in our bodies to support others around us. So we become better helpers, better resources, better leaders, but all kinds of better opportunities for everyone.
I agree with that.
Well, thank you so much.
I had a thought that I don't know. It doesn't naturally flow from there, but I wanted to throw it out there.
Please do.
For these kids that we've been talking about during this talk, a lot of them, you know, have difficulty with learning, whether that be social learning, emotional, like they don't really know how to react to something.
Yes.
Or it's just learning like in a school setting.
Yes.
Doing work on these kind of pathways and kind of decreasing the interference going into their body, that can allow them to learn so much more easily.
Yes.
And a lot of them are so smart. And they might be getting really not good grades, or they might be in trouble every other day at school, but they actually want to learn and they're actually really smart. And so if we move some of those roadblocks that they're facing, you would just be amazed that this kid was inside of that shell that was so overwhelmed with their environment that they just couldn't really thrive.
Exactly. And the homework time is down and the test-taking anxiety is diminished and all kinds of other things that open their opportunities to experience the world differently is there for them.
And the other thing I love about what I do and what you do also and pretty much our whole office is that we're offering treatment to help these kids and and adults.
Yes.
But without, you know, adding medications for symptoms.
Right.
Because we overuse medications in this country. There's a place for them, and when they are needed, they are amazing. But we give someone a pill for everything, and then they get side effects, and then we give them a pill for that. And all of those side effects are affecting their biochemistry and their energy and their innate ability to heal.
Well, so, and many highly sensitive kids that I see that are sensory sensitive, you know, kind of off the Richter scale, which is okay and good. But also, they're very sensitive to the medications and refuse the medications and don't want them and want alternative ways in which they can heal. And a lot of people don't recognize that really innervating the spine and the nervous system into the brain in such a way that there is coherent flow up and down all through the body, that that allows non-blocked or non-sickly or non-illness states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, that's what I enjoy about what I do, just helping people and giving them a natural way to deal with things, to get to the root of the problems and not so much focus on the symptoms. Yes, we want the symptoms to go away, but we want to get rid of them by addressing why they're there and not just cover them up.
Right. So we love to go to root cause
and
not just symptom suppression. Right. We all want to do that. I think all facets of healthcare really want to do that. Sometimes we just get in so much pain that we want to have that symptom suppressed right away and then go to the root cause. And sometimes we do different things to help people. We recognize when they're in severe pain that many times it can't kind of move past that severe pain. And so we all do pain support and pain reduction processes, but not as much of suppression, because we recognize that when we suppress the pain, it can just come up later.
Exactly.
And then not really get resolved. And sometimes it even comes up later with deeper levels of coping that have to get unraveled and move out of the body.
Yes, it does.
Us grown-ups have more of it.
Yeah, and one of the things I absolutely love about working with kids is they just are so responsive to any kinds of hands-on work, to chiropractic work, to remodeling some of the connections in their brain. It's so much easier for them than it is for an adult.
It is.
Even the kid with the biggest challenges, they're so able to make those changes. Their body's so responsive. They're still building and growing and developing.
I think they hear some of the messages we might be facilitating for them and hear the responses that the body's doing and really go, oh, that works. That's really nice. I can do that. Right. So we give them an opportunity to feel open and flowing, and they feel that that feels innate in them and that that's really the desired state rather
Absolutely.
Than that stuck state.
And at our office at Ocean Wellness in Solana Beach, I love how we have all these different providers that all have their own take on it, because if I'm really trying to help someone and I'm noticing they're not reacting the way I would expect them to,
right?
Yes, I might be missing something and I might need to make changes to what I'm doing,
right?
But maybe they also need energy healing, or maybe they also need acupuncture,
right?
Or whatever it is. And I love that we have such an awesome team of women all working together with kind of the same holistic approach to helping these people.
It's really true. It really takes a team many times, especially with a lot of the very deeper leveled kids that are deeply, deeply affected. And it does take a team approach and a high level of collaboration to kind of get to the root of these things, and they can come from many different angles.
And the thing we, at our office, we always kind of take for granted and forget about, because we don't push it, but we have the hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
Yes.
And that is just amazing for the kids, the kind of kids that need the work that I do.
It really is. I mean, I've seen tremendous work, not only in adult care to oxygenate tissues or areas that have had difficult getting blood supply to it, due to lots of different issues and conditions with adults, but also with kids in the area of brain functioning and brain processing difficulties, specifically in autism. I've seen autistic children really, really come out of the chambers talking, interacting, looking at you, asking appropriate questions. It's like the light bulb turned on the neuronal cell from the chamber, and it's really fascinating.
I love that we have that tool there. I used to have to send people somewhere else, you know, previously when I was practicing on the East Coast.
So right.
It's the first time I've had it as accessible.
I know.
I don't have to send people to a different office for acupuncture and this and that and the other. And everything's just at our office.
Right.
And even outside of what we have, we do have a great network of people that we refer to outside of our office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It takes a village sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
most times. It's really, really true, and it's exciting to be here. So really, everyone, feel free to. We're on Center for Conscious Kids. It's called Ocean Wellness, and it's a chiropractic office with lots and lots of innovative therapies and practitioners who are here to help you.
I agree with that. It's I wouldn't even call it a chiropractic office because there's only two of us
it
there.
It is. It's a wellness office. It is.
It's everything for wellness.
Yes. So. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was wonderful having you here.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. For more information on how to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families, visit our website at www.centerforconscious.com. That's www.centerforconscious.com. Join us again next week as we get a little bit more conscious and a little bit more centered. And we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
The Specialty Produce app is the world's number one handheld resource on produce. The app features photographs, recipes, geography and history, taste and culinary applications on over 1,900 produce items. From apples to zapote, we've got your produce questions answered. Our app is available for both iPhone and Android. Download our app for free today.